Hello, I'm Mike Byrne. I was the founder of The Beatles Story.
I'm Martin King. I'm the director of The Beatles Story currently.
Okay, well, today you are celebrating your 25th birthday. Quite a milestone, that must be.
Yeah, absolutely. 25 years ago, I never imagined, really, that it would last as long as 25 years. I hoped in my heart it would, and I knew Beatles fans hopefully would keep coming. But 25 years, it's really exciting.
When you first set up, you said you didn't imagine it to ever be on a scale that it has been. But we're talking about the Beatles here, you know, a huge, huge band.
Yeah, but you see, 25 years ago, 1990, or even when we started to do it, we started thinking about it in 1988. In 1988, tourists weren't coming to Liverpool, and there was only a trickle of Beatle fans, a few Americans, a few Japanese, and it was just a trickle. So, you know, you didn't realise that there was this worldwide phenomena and feeling about the Beatles in 1988.
What do you think it is about the Beatles that is attracting people still today? You know, people that weren't even alive maybe when they were at the height of their careers.
Well, it's the music, it's the personality, it's the films they left. You know, it's the mystique, the fact that John Lennon, a pop star, was murdered on the streets of New York. You know, and it's the sadness that George Harrison died. It's just the whole picture, and the fact that Paul McCartney is still rocking and rolling today.
It's the birthplace of the Beatles. The Beatles are a pop band, but they were the best pop band ever. They were a cultural phenomenon. The world changed when the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show in America. And I think everyone admits that. Loads of people picked up their instruments. Liverpool became the centre of the universe, it was said. And to that extent, people still take pilgrimage to Liverpool to discover the birthplace of the Beatles, thankfully.
Now today, 25 years after the Beatles Story first opened, you've had 4 million people come through the doors to visit this attraction. That's massive.
The world's a very big place. And I'm pleased to say the biggest growth markets are China and Brazil. So it is reaching the places that other pop groups don't reach, so to speak. So we truly have people from all over the world. Today, on our 25th birthday, we're going to announce 25 worldwide ambassadors for the Beatles Story. We actually ran a competition, people put their entries in, and they were phenomenally good. So you name a territory in the world, whether in Africa or whether in Asia, and we've had people actually put in to the competition, and as I say, we're going to announce later today those winners. So isn't that fantastic, all over the world?
Well, considering the fan base that is right across the world, we're lucky having Liverpool and having it here on our doorstep, aren't we?
Well, yeah, and Martin mentioned a pilgrimage. Well, that's what it was like before we opened. These few Beatle fans that we met, my wife who helped me build the exhibition, Bernadette, she was a Beatle guide, and she was coming back from her tours saying, I've just taken out some Japanese today, I've just taken out some Americans. And when we drove around Strawberry Fields, Penny Lane, you would see Japanese with the little maps, walking up, trying to find it, you know. Today, it's much easier than it was in 1988.
And I'm sure over the years, you've had some incredible stories, super fans, that kind of thing. Does anyone in particular stick out in your memory?
Well, I guess Julian Lennon, when he came to the exhibition, I mean, he walked around slowly because he would be quite emotional about it, you know, because of his father, because of the connections to Liverpool. But when I took him round and gave him the tour, and when we got to the White Room, he was just so emotional, and I had to leave him on his own.
You must be very proud to have been the founder and someone to have started this whole exhibition.
Well, yeah, because Liverpool at the time didn't have any centre for people to actually visit, and we just wanted to give Liverpool, you know, something to be proud of, and that's how we were motivated. We weren't motivated by money or anything, because we were two Liverpudlians. I was a musician, my wife went to the Cavern as well, she knew Paul and George quite well, and you know, we were just two ordinary people who had a passion for Liverpool and a passion for the Beatles, and said we must have an exhibition in Liverpool.
Does it inspire you then to see the younger generations coming through and taking an interest in and learning about the Beatles and having such passion for them?
Well, it's great. I mean, it's great to see young musicians coming here as well and being inspired by the music and want to take up an instrument because of the Beatles. You know, my grandson's 6 years old and he's learning the drums. He's playing along to Yellow Submarine.
And you've got quite a collection here. How has that grown over the years in terms of what people can come and experience of the Beatles?
Memorabilia, it just really appreciates in value. So we've had piano here worth more than £1 million. We've got George Harrison's first guitar that's worth a cool £250,000. So everything from original notes from the producer, George Martin, to a pair of John Lennon spectacles. And it really accumulates over time. So some people give them on loan. We buy some of the memorabilia. But it's much sought after all over the world now. So going to auctions, you sometimes have to go gulp when you realise how much certain things are worth. But I do recommend people go up into their attics and look, you know, what items they may have from the 60s, because on eBay they'd go for quite a lot of money. And real memorabilia from the Beatles themselves, well, the sky's the limit for that. But over the years, and we've been now trading for 25, we've had some very choice items here. And when some things are going to auction, some of the auction houses do place them on temporary show here at the Beatles Story. So you can see loads of great stuff. And we've also got, in our British Invasion part of the exhibition, things from people who were influenced by the Beatles. So we've got a Keith Moon drum kit, we've got original lyrics from Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. So there's a real treasure trove when you come here. But they've come from sources all over the world, and we work very closely with the Grammy Museum for, you know, our collection, really.
So what is it?
We had one really unusual item in the exhibition in the early days, and that was John Lennon's fingerprints, and they were on his immigration form, the green card for America. And how it came into our possession, I'm not exactly sure, but eventually the US Immigration Service found out about it and confiscated them from us.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Did you manage to get copies or anything?
We've got copies, but I was worried about ending up in jail.
So what is it for you both personally then that the Beatles just does something for you and you want to share that with the city?
I'm just thrilled that after 25 years that we're still here, obviously. I'm sure it'll be here forever. Liverpool has developed so much since I started the exhibition. It was kind of a wasteland in the early days, because in 1981 we'd had a riot in Liverpool and things like that. You know, Liverpool wasn't the place to come as a tourist. And I'm just so pleased to see what's happened and the way the Beatles Story is still here, and that Martin and his team are carrying on, you know, our dream.
And for me, truly, it's been the soundtrack of my life. I've grown up with this music. The beauty is, so is the world. And, you know, very famous people, whether you own Liverpool Football Club, you're the American ambassador, or you name the bands who are playing at the Echo Arena, who actually do the short walk over to see us at Albert Dock, you can see from their eyes the Beatles mean so much to them. And that's really been the success and the growth of the Beatles Story. In the last 12 months, we've had record visitors. That's after 25 years. The Beatles aren't a 1960s phenomenon. They're forever.
Yeah, and you know, forever's a long time, and that's how you hope to see this Beatles Story unfolding. So what is in its future? How do you hope one day it might expand, or are there any plans for that?
All I can really say there is a lot depends on Apple, which own the copyright for the Beatles, and their plans. George's family, Ringo, John's estate through Yoko, and Paul all have collections themselves. And I guess ultimately we look for that worldwide, bigger exhibition that actually has all those treasures from the Beatles themselves and their families as part of legacy. But that is for the future. But that's what we have to look and aspire to as a city that's the birthplace of the Beatles.
And I would really love to happen is Paul and Ringo to walk in here tonight and jump up on the stage and play.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?